Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you this morning. And we thank you for the entrance of your word. It brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. And we thank you for the power of resurrection shining even over us today. The life also of Jesus be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Receive all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One day, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says they're going to run away from his presence. They're going to call upon the rocks to hide over and fall on them and so forth. You know, it's better, you know, right now, give your life to Christ. But one way or another, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ. They can do it willingly or they do it by the rod of iron. One way or another, they will all confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's right. You know, and from the beginning and history of this world, that's never been said. Nobody ever claimed that, you know, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it again. And he did. Hallelujah. You know, but make no mistake about it. You know, many of us who are believers, we don't understand all that he did. Christ was a Passover and it was necessary for him to be killed for us. You know, and God picked the days, God picked the time, God picked his resurrection. We don't get it quite right, but that's okay. But nonetheless, we celebrate that he's no longer in the grave. In fact, they say, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. He was already risen even before they got there. Praise the Lord. Now, today, what does it all mean to us? Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, that ought to be our ultimate passion and ultimate quest, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection, be made conformable unto his death. Wow. You know, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ brings forth the life of Jesus in us, because it's a complete package. You can't have his death without his resurrection. You can't have the resurrection without the death. It's a complete package. So the power of his resurrection shows us that Christ tasted death for every man, you know, and the death and his resurrection together brings us right back where we belonged in the first place. Romans 4 and 25. For he was delivered up for our offenses, but he was justified. He was raised again for our justification. Well, let's read how Paul, you know, sought after this power. And we're going to see what was on his mind. Perhaps we can see it. Let's start from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. What things were gain to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not that as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. That's right. That was his passion. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If you think you are perfect or anything, well, if you think you know anything yet, you don't know as you ought to know, you know, but let us, you know, press forward. And if there's anything else you are otherwise minded, the Lord will reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Like I said, spiritual maturity means you carry along what you already attained. You don't drop anything. Carry it along. Let us mind the same thing. Praise the Lord. Now, the book of Isaiah, you know, we ought to read some of these things and even read some of the stories, accounts in the Gospels, all the things they did. They struck him on the head. They spit on his face. They put a crown of thorns on him. They struck him in his back. His flesh opened up and all of these things. And they mocked him. You know, everybody mocked him. You know, both those who call themselves religious leaders and the Romans and everybody, and even the Jews, everybody mocked him. You know, they said, well, he saved others. Let's see if he can save himself. Come down from that cross if you are the Son of God. You know, come down from that. But you know, Jesus was prepared for that moment. He had practiced. He was already practiced. That's not the first time he's heard, if you're the Son of God, do something. He's heard it before. If you are the Son of God, cast down yourself over here. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, do this and that. He's heard it before. He was well rehearsed and well practiced. And he said, for this cause and for this purpose was I born. Hallelujah. He was focused and nothing was going to distract him. And he gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate. And he said, look, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. And the man said, well, are you a king then? And Jesus said, well, you said it by your own mouth. So this man, he said, look, this is his accusation, you know, king of the Jews. And everybody said, no. It's not the king of the Jews. We want you to write, he said, I am the king of the Jews. And the man said, no, what I have written. The king of the Jews. And, you know, with their own mouth, they called him king of the Jews, you know. And he's not only king of the Jews. Well, you know, the Jews rejected him, but the very one they rejected, he has become the headstone of the corner. And now there is no other way, according to Acts chapter 4, 11 and 12, there is none other. And no other means, none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. You can't do it. You cannot find salvation in any other. Say, neither is there salvation in any other. You cannot do it. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Isaiah 43 and verse 15. He's always been the King and always wanted to be. You know, but people rejected him, and it's okay. That's part of his call. You know, that was the mandate that was upon him. He would be rejected. Isaiah prophesied of it. You know, there's no way in the world that Jesus would do anything contrary to the scriptures. He did every last thing, even the vinegar, even everything, even the parting of his garments, even the pieces of silver, all these things were all prophesied about him, and he fulfilled every last one of them. And the scriptures would say that it might be fulfilled. Something else would happen, that it might be fulfilled. Something else, you know, all and on and on and on. And boy, the Passover, my goodness, crucified the very hour, at the very hour. Christ, our Passover, crucified in the very season. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen to this in the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. We talked about that the other day. A man of sorrow, sir, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Nobody thought anything of him. In fact, for the most part, they thought very lightly of him. Surely he has borne our grief, sir, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he wasn't stricken for himself. He was wounded for our transgressions. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ was wounded for your transgressions. Now, if the transgressions that Christ was wounded for were only the transgressions that were before his time, then all of us that are living now are of all men most miserable. That means Christ only paid for all the sins up to the point that he died. Then we're finished. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Hallelujah. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement. Many people don't realize this, that in order for you to obtain peace, Jesus was badly beaten. He was badly beaten for your peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We often remember that we are healed by his stripes, but we don't remember that the chastisement of our peace was already laid upon him. You know, Jesus guaranteed your peace by all the beatings. It wasn't just the healing. It was even your peace. All of the beatings and everything, your iniquities, transgressions, it's a complete package. If we believe that we are healed by his stripes, then you got to believe that, you know, his chastisement paid for our peace. You got to also believe, you know, that he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. Complete package. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened up his mouth. You know, and so on and so forth. But he did all of this for us. My goodness. I mean, we ought to also love him. He died for us. We ought to live for him. You know, in our hearts, in our minds, we ought to love the Lord for what he did. But let's look at, you know, these things, you know, that Jesus did, so that, you know, his sacrifice and his sufferings will not be in vain. You know, one of the main things that Jesus did, and the reason he came, was to destroy the works of the devil. Let's take a look at that. We're going to come against some of those works in this room here on today, this very day. In the book of 1 John, chapter 3, reading from about verses 7 through 10, John would explain some of these things that Christ came to do for us. Hallelujah. And he said, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even he as he is righteous. But people say, oh, there is none righteous. There is none righteous. And I say, well, you ought to set them straight right now. Yeah, before the cross, there was none righteous. But now, the righteousness of Christ be imputed unto us. Now, and he said, look, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as Christ. Now, he that committed sin is of the devil. That's right. You know, for the devil sinned from the beginning. Now, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And if that's the reason why he came, and if on the cross he said it is finished, then did he do it? Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin or live a life of sin, because the seed of God remains in him. Can't say it. Talking about the Christ, he couldn't do it. And we also, when we get to that point where we are fully redeemed into sons of God, sin is a thing of the past. Not even, you know, these things, whatever, you know, perfection will be the goal, ultimate goal. Whatever thing that is unclean, unrighteous, you know, unsavory in the eyes of God is gone. All that remains is the righteousness of Christ in us. Hallelujah. And he said, look, this is what Christ came to do for us. Destroy the works of the devil. He came to give us victorious living. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. And what does that life look like? Well, let's see some other scriptures like Colossians chapter 3. You know, when we come into Christ, you know, this is how we function now. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Hallelujah. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. What does that mean? Well, you know, sometimes we forget these writings and these admonitions and even commandments. And we are, you know, just consumed with setting our affections on things on the earth. Whereas we are told this, don't do it. Set your affection on things above. So on a day like this, on a weekend, this consecration fasting weekend that we've been doing, it's a time to remember who we really are and who we should be and how our walk should be. You know, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. That's right. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Now stay dead. That's the flesh. When Christ, who is our new life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Mortify therefore. Kill the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Mortify therefore your members that are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Well, all that effeminate stuff, all that LGBTQ stuff, kill all that stuff, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry, and all these things and so forth, for which sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Well, in which ye also walked sometime in the past when you lived in them. But now, hallelujah, ye put off also all these, anger and wrath. You say, well, I don't do fornication, I don't do uncleanness, I don't do inordinate affection, I don't do all this other stuff. You say, okay, fine. But also put off these things as well. Anger, that's right. Wrath, malice, blasphemy. Feel the communication out of your mouth. And so on and so forth. This is the life that Christ came to give to us. Eternal life also. In Romans chapter 10, you know, verses 9 to 11, we are told that, look, this Christ that we are talking about, he is no longer in the grave. You don't need to go to heaven to pull him down. The word of faith is already in your mouth. And if you know how to use it, what does it say? It says, well, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. Right there. He made it so simple. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. If you believe on the Lord, you put your trust in the work of redemption that he did, and he come out of that grave, you know, for your justification, you got a passport to present at the gates of heaven. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, Paul laid out a powerful argument about the resurrection. You know, they had people there that were saying there is not such thing as the resurrection. The Sadducees, they didn't believe any of that. And even among the Gentiles everywhere, people didn't really believe it. They were arguing it, but they didn't really see Christ come out of that grave. So they said, well, there's no such thing. So Paul is going to lay an argument here and say, now, 1 Corinthians 15 and 12, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how is it then that some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, if there be no resurrection of the dead, if that's true, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain. And we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised Christ up, whom he raised not up, if there be no such thing as the dead rising up. Now, if the dead rise not, then that means Christ is also not raised, because he was once dead. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. That's right. Then they also which are falling asleep in Christ are perished. There's no hope for them if Christ was not raised. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, and then when we die, there's no hope because there's no resurrection, then we have all men most miserable. But now, glory to God, is Christ risen from the dead. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. And he has become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And this 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 22, is one of the first verses I learned when I became a Christian. Along with 2 Corinthians 5, 17, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved, and all these things, if any man be in Christ, and so forth. And some verses in Romans that says, sin shall not have dominion over you. We learned this one too. This one was struck into my head. Christ in Adam, Adam, in Adam all died, but in Christ shall all be made alive. And I've always believed it from a young man and up. look, now I'm made alive. Praise the Lord. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, and afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom even, to the Father. And when he shall have put down all rule and authority. That's right. Deliver the kingdom to God, deliver it to the Father. That's right. And he put down all authority and power. For he must reign. All his enemies have been put under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He's already destroyed it, according to 2 Timothy. We are told in the book of 2 Timothy that Christ has already abolished death. But, we see that people are still dying even until now. But, nevertheless, the Lord has told us that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10 tells us that, you know, Christ has abolished death. And he has brought immortality and life. You know, he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Praise the Lord. So when that enemy, which is finally death, you know, and that's why a lot of people are still subject to die, because it's the last enemy. Even though Christ has finished the work, death is still getting a lot of people. Death and time will get so many people. And, you know, but finally, you know, death itself, you know, shall have to give up its power. Death and hell themselves will be cast into the lake of fire finally, because, you know, it is the last thing that will be destroyed, and it will be destroyed finally, you know. So, and it says that when all things shall have been subdued under him, then the Son also will be subject, and all of us together, and he will reign forever and ever. And in what form and shape will the dead be raised? He said, well, what you sow, except it's quickened, I mean, is dead. But when he dies, then it is quickened. And it cannot be quickened unless he died. You know, and when you sow it, at first, it might be bare grain, but God will give it a different body, in case you say, well, how is the dead raised? In what body then, and in what form? And he began to go on and talk about all the things, how there is a natural body and a spiritual body, how the first man, Adam, you know, was a living soul, but the second Adam was a quickening spirit. The first man of was of the earth, earthy, and the second was the Lord from heaven. Now, and as the earthy, so are also they that are earthy. And as the heavenly, so are also they that are heavenly. And as we are born the image of the earthy, shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say unto you this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me declare this freely unto you today. We shall not all die. You know, because some people say it's appointed unto men we all to die. No, we shall not all die. Because, you know, there are some people that will not be done, will not be dead, will not die, will still be living by the time Christ comes. And there are some people that are still alive, even though they lived a long time ago, like Enoch and Elijah, you know. And he said, look, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. One thing that we know is going to be common. Not death. Some people will die. They'll be in the grave. Jesus said, I'll raise them up. Other people will be yet alive. Jesus said, I'll raise them up too. Raise them up either from the grave or the ground, you know, or upon the earth, whatever. Raised up to meet the Lord in the air, you know, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet of God shall sound, and we shall be raised incorruptible. We know that, you know, for this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruption and corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. Well, you know, death has been having a field day since Adam. Death has been having a field day, you know, but Christ, he put an answer to that. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. He got it too. Praise God. You know, and now he says, oh, you know, death will finally be swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Grave didn't have power over the Christ. He came out of that grave. And even many bodies of the saints that slept, they came out of the grave also. But they stood at attention, waiting for Jesus to do his thing. And when he was finished preaching to all the souls that perished from the time of Noah and all that, you know, whooped the devil from pillar to post, got the keys of hell and death from him, come out of there. You know, then those saints also came out of their grave. You can read all of that in Matthew 27. And they appeared to many in the holy city. 40 days and different things, you know, and the power of the resurrection. Did you know that even his death alone, let alone his resurrection, started shaking things up? From the moment that he died in Matthew chapter 27, we are told that even just before he died, the moment that God laid upon him the iniquity of us all, you know, and the moment that Christ became sin for the world, the darkness was upon him. From that moment, the very light of the world was snuffed out. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, you know, and right at that moment, he began to, everything began to be ashamed. The sun began to be ashamed. You know, there was darkness upon the face of the earth for 3 hours from about, we're talking about from 12 noon to about 3 p.m. There was darkness upon the face of the earth. People looked and said, my goodness, this man must indeed be the Son of God. We've never seen any such thing. Whoever seen any such thing? That, you know, his death alone will cause darkness upon the earth for 3 hours? Why, absolutely. You know, and this is the thing that Christ dreaded when he was praying, Lord, this cup pass away from me, because he knew he would become darkness. And he couldn't, there's no way in the world that he could, you know, tolerate that darkness. I mean, he would be separated from the Father, because God would not tolerate that either. And he knew it. And, you know, when the time began to come to pass like that, well, we're told that from about the ninth hour, you can read that in, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. Now, from about the sixth hour, they count from 6 a.m. in the morning. So 6 hour will be 12 noon. High noon, when the sun was high. From that time till about, you know, the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. For 3 hours, everything was completely dark. And that's the brightest time of this day for the sun, but it was dark. And about the ninth hour, so we know around the time that Jesus died, you know, he began to cry with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook the Christ for you, for me. It was because of him that the Lord God turned his back on him. He was smitten. He was afflicted. He was rejected of men, you know, and God himself, you know, forsook him for a moment, you know, until after he had finished paying the price. And my goodness, now all heaven and earth are subject to him. God had given him a name that is now above every name. Hallelujah. And we're going to use that name for ourselves today. Let's take advantage of the power of this resurrection on such a day as this. You know, what a time to be set free from sin. What a time to be set free from sickness and disease. What a time to be elevated, like Christ himself was elevated. He rose from that grave. He said, look, put this body down. 3 days, I'll raise it again. My goodness. And he did exactly that. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, you know, every word that Christ said was fulfilled, you know, and every word in that scripture will be fulfilled. Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle will fall to the ground. He'll not do it. And the Lord said, you know, is coming out of that grave. Praise the Lord. And he did come out of that grave. And now the power of God that brought Christ out of the grave, you know, he said, look, if the very Spirit of God that raised up Christ from the grave dwell in you, he that raised him up shall also quicken your mortal bodies. And this is what Jesus declared before he even went to the grave. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, he declared this: "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, makato sharalabos, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth." That's how long Jesus was there, not a day and a half. That's how long he was there. He was there for 3 days and 3 nights. But he come out of that grave. And when he come out of that grave, my goodness, all power in heaven and on earth, he said, is given unto me. Hallelujah. Go ye therefore in my name and declare this and teach all nations. Glory to God. So now we see the power of the Christ is with us. The power of his resurrection is with us. Now let's take advantage and all the things that were spoken of him in the book of Isaiah 53. Let's claim them here this morning. First, he was bruised, you know, for our iniquities, or wounded for our transgressions, all these things. So the entire sin nature must be gone. Hallelujah. For those of us that have turned our lives to Christ, well, we need to put completely that body under. We need to purify ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, of the spirit, of the mind, everywhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. And as much as we have these incredible promises, well, let us cleanse ourselves also then of all filthiness of the mind, the spirit, and all. And if you have this hope in yourself, purify yourself that we might be fit for the master's use. So we know that Christ, you know, he took care of our sins. Well, he also took care of our peace. He also took care of our healing. All of these things he did. So today, if you are here or anybody that's listening to this later on, you know, if the devil still got you, you know, condemned over sin and over all of that, today, what a day to be liberated as we celebrate his coming out of that grave. You know, now you can be free from sin. Glory to God. Sin shall not have dominion over you anymore. Hallelujah. Because darkness cannot comprehend the light. The sin is darkness and we are in the light. So sin shall no more have dominion over us. So everyone that's in this room should have power over sin. That's right. And sin shall no more have dominion over us. And then we should also have our healing and our peace as well. And there are things that need to be elevated in our lives. You know, just like Christ, you know, was elevated out of that grave. There are things that need to be elevated. You know, perhaps our life, you know, is in shambles, you know, and chaotic at best sometimes. But the Holy Spirit, just like in the beginning, he moved upon the face of the deeps and he brought order out of that chaos. Well, he can do the same thing for us today. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, well, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Now that's a good memory verse to learn. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Let's commit it to memory. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. That's make your mortal body to come alive. That's right. By the spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, this body may be perishing outwardly, But inside is renewed by the power of the Spirit of God. But today, what are the things that make this body to perish? Well, you know, life in the flesh as it is today genders to decay. You see that after a while, people who are strong and healthy and so forth, maybe in their mid-years, they were so strong, they were so powerful. After some time, they become feeble and become weak because time is catching up with all of them. The power of God says that Lord can renew all of them. There was a man who called Moses because he was in the presence of the Lord many times. The Bible says even at age 120, his eyes were not dim. And neither was his natural force abated. At age 120, my goodness, you know, his eyes were not even dim. And neither was his natural force, that means the strength, the physical strength that he had, was not even diminished. Praise God. You know, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not even dim. Now that was his natural force diminished. You know, he was still as strong at age 120 as whatever time in his life. You know, and these are some of the things that the power of resurrection can do for us. Now, some people don't believe that this can be, you know, but, you know, it can most certainly be. Even Caleb, you know, he declared that he was, you know, at the age of 85. Caleb said that I am still as strong today, you know, as he was when he went out 40 years ago. 40 years ago, you know, and when he was 85 years old, he was still talking about being as strong as he was then to go out and in for war. And he said, look, because of all of that, you know, and you know how my heart followed the Lord. He said, therefore, give me this mountain. Let's read his testimony in Joshua chapter 14. And he said, look, he told Joshua when Joshua was dividing the land. He said, the Lord has kept me alive. Joshua 14 and 10. These 45 years, even since the Lord spake unto Moses to give me this word, you know, because I followed the Lord with all my heart. Moses pronounced something for me. The rest of my children didn't, but I wholly followed the Lord. You know, I was 40 years old then. Today, I'm 85 years old. And I am yet as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me out. As my strength was then, so is even my strength today. How many people can really say at age 85 today they are strong as they were at age 40? Well, you know, I am believing God myself personally that at age 85, the Lord tarries, I will be as strong as I was at age 40. Because I believe that I'm also of the stock of Caleb. You know, we have this, you know, the power of Jesus, the power of the resurrection. You know, there's some stuff in that power that he did for us that you can leverage. Hallelujah. You know, so I'm leveraging that and I'm believing that. And now we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for everyone that is in this room today that you will experience anew the power of his resurrection. And there may be things that are dead in your life that needs to come back alive. That's right. That's what resurrection is all about. You know, there'll be many things that were dead in the scriptures that God brought alive. Even Abraham, we're told his testimony, you know, how God, he knew that God can call things that are not, even as though they are. I mean, let's read his testimony in Romans chapter 4. We read from verse 17. He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. You know, that's what God called him. And he changed his name to prove it. And everybody said, father of nations? You don't even have a child. And what can you be the father of nations? And Abraham said, well, I will be the father of nations. And every time they call him Abraham, he said, don't call me that. My name is now Abraham, which is father of nations. Who against hope? That's right. Believed in hope. The Bible says he believed that God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they are, that God can do it for him too. And he believed it. You know, and the Bible says that, look, against hope, you know, at that age, 99 years old and everything, Sarah also being very old and all of that, you know, but he said, I'll be the father of nations because I believe what God said to me. And he not being in wake, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, you know, look like, you know, very old and so forth, you know. And then he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, whether it was Abraham that was dead in his body, whether the seed of copulation was dead, whether Sarah's womb was dead, it made not a difference to him. He believed God. He said, look, I believe God. He staggered not at the promise of God. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being persuaded what God had promised God was able to do, he believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. So there may be some things that are there that God needs to bring alive. You know, there may be some things that we are backwards that we need to be ahead. You know, the Bible says you'll be above and not beneath. Well, maybe you find yourself still beneath. You know, you'll be in front and not behind. Maybe you find yourself still behind. You'll be a lender and not borrower. Maybe you find yourself still borrowing. The Lord gave all these promises, and all these promises are fulfilled in Christ. The power of the resurrection can change your story. That's what we're going to do and believe God for this morning. What about sickness? Now, this thing that is called sickness is designed to weary our body and put us down, you know. And some even little sicknesses, you'll be surprised how a little sickness can even put somebody out, you know. An infection on your small finger can become so bad that it puts you down for days, you know. And I have even heard someone that had an infection in their foot. And you would have thought that that's not that can't be a crisis. That cannot be, you know, something that is deadly. That cannot be something that is so precarious. I mean, it can't be that dangerous. It's just a foot. Well, I've heard foot infection that killed somebody. You know, I've seen it up close. There are two instances that I've known. You know, one was many years ago. You know, I was sick. It was in the year 2001. Valley fever and all of that. I was in hospital. I needed to have surgery. My lungs. Somebody came in. They had, you know, just foot injury. You know, I mean, there was a foot infection. And they came into that hospital. They didn't make it out of there. Unfortunately, the family were crying. They died. It was just a foot infection. How can a foot infection kill somebody, you think? I mean, it did. One other time on my job, one day, you know, somebody made an announcement that somebody on my job died just the weekend before. What happened? They said, well, you know, he had a foot infection. Went to the hospital for this and that, and they did some kind of surgery. The next thing you know, things turned sour, and he died. I'm like, foot infection? I mean, how in the world can foot infection kill somebody? I mean, you're not even talking something in the heart. You're not talking something in the brain. You're not talking something in the lungs. She's talking something in the food. Well, that's how sickness is designed by the devil to bring death. Jesus said he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You know, so, but then we have the power of the resurrection. So we cannot even entertain sickness. We can't entertain backwardness. We cannot entertain any of the things that the devil tried to keep us in. The gates of brass and the bars of iron that are trying to hold us back. And Jesus, through the power of resurrection, gives us the victory today. So we're going to pray. And I'm going to say to you today, if you have any prayer needs, it may be somebody in a family, it may be your child, you know, that you're standing in prayer for today. That's right. You know, and they may be being afflicted. There are some three boys that we've been praying for now on this platform since last week that we heard that they were suffering from autism and so on. It may be a family member that's going through cancer. It may be this or it may be that. You know, Jesus said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from her infirmity on such a day as this? I mean, ought not these boys be loosed on such a day as this? Ought not your even your own body or your family member that is suffering these things, whatever they are suffering, ought they not to be loosed on a day like this? Well, I say yes, and they are loosed in the name of Jesus. I say that a power of the resurrection of the Christ is in this room, even on today. You know, there was a day that Jesus was in a certain place. And, you know, and sometimes when the scripture says something about these certain places, you know, he was in a certain place. And the Bible says that, well, he was in a certain place and the power of the Lord was present to heal. And you can read that in Luke chapter 5, verses 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching. You know, well, maybe on such a day as this, as we are teaching and bringing this word of the Lord, you know, well, people came out of every town in Galilee and Jerusalem and so forth. Well, there are people here from England, from the UK, from Nigeria, from America, from different places. I mean, could it be also, because he said they were come out from different places and he was there teaching and he said the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Could it be also that the power of the Lord is present today to heal? I say absolutely yes. And I've been praying this last 3 days, actually 4 days in my case. I've been praying and I said, Lord, I'm believing God that when we come together on Sunday morning and pray over the room, that God will change everyone's stories. Hallelujah. I believe it with all my heart. It will change your story. Whatever that story is. Whatever that yet one thing that still remains. The Lord has done many things in your life. It's just like death, you know. I mean, say death is the last enemy. It seems like you whack the head of this thing, but it keeps coming up like a whack-a-mole. You know, you whack his head, it comes up here. Jesus already whacked his head, but it still comes up. You whack this sickness, but it still comes up. Whacked all these things, but they still come up, you know. God shall supply all your needs, but you're still in need, you know. I mean, all these things that are, you know, in the scriptures, but we got to keep praying. We got to keep fighting. We got to keep, you know, contending for the faith. And we got to keep contending for these promises. So today, in the name of the Lord, and in the message of the Lord, I am going to contend for the promises of God and for the power of his resurrection over our lives. And I want you to join me today as we pray. Over the next few minutes, something good is going to happen to you. Amen. If you believe that, you can say amen in the chat room. Something good is going to, it doesn't matter what you prayed about this before, how many times you prayed about it before. You never know. This may be that day that the Lord has chosen, you know, who has despised the day of small things. This may be the day of your visitation. Hallelujah. It's like this man, you know, in John chapter 5, he kept coming, you know, every time he would come, you know, and every time he got so close, but nothing. Somebody always stepped in ahead of him, but he kept coming. He never gave up and he never gave in. Now, he could have sat in his house and be discouraged and say, well, you know, I've tried this many times. And at the season that the angel went down, everybody camped around there waiting for the moving of the water. And whosoever first stepped into the water was healed of whatever sickness he had. And so this man was also there. And he had come many times. But each time, there was no, there was nothing better happened for him because he was not the first to get in that water. And but he kept coming. And he's thinking in my heart, someday, hallelujah. Well, one day, hallelujah, but that's today. Today, I'm believing it with all my heart. And I've been praying. I said, Lord, let today be the day. Let that day be the day. And this man came, and Jesus, when he saw him lie, and knowing that he has been long time in that condition. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus knows the condition that you are praying about today. He knows how long you have been in that condition. He knows it too. So he says to this man, wilt thou be made whole? And the man looked at Jesus and like, what in the world is the question like that? All of us are here waiting for the moving of the water. And he said, well, but of course. But, you know, I've been coming. Everybody is camping around. We're waiting. But each time this thing happens, somebody gets in ahead of me. There's a lot of impotent folk, but some of them can move a little bit quicker than others. This man was impotent like the rest of them, but, you know, somehow somebody always gets in ahead of him. And he thought, well, somebody always get my blessing. And the Lord said, no, nobody getting your blessing. But today, forget the water, forget the angel, forget how many times you come. It's a good thing you kept coming, because today, your story is changing. Hallelujah. This man, on that day, he had come many times. And it could be the same with your story. You prayed about this thing many times. But you never gave up. You kept praying. Because one day, that might be the day. And this man, but you see, there's a story even with this man. Sometimes, we're always looking in one place. This man thought his healing must come from the water. And from the angels stirring the water. But Jesus said no. You know, because our God is the Almighty God. You know, his ways are not our ways. You know, it was a mercy of the Lord that gave them that angel coming there and stirring that pool at a certain time. But only one person got healed. And what about all the remaining multitude? Even Jesus on that day, he only healed this one person and walked away. You know, so it's not about the angel. It's not about the pool. Today, it's not what you think. Because sometimes we are so focused that my deliverance, my healing is coming from that place. That's the way people recommended it. That's the way. I got to go in there. I got to do this thing. You know, whatever the prayer that you're praying and believing God for, you know, we just think that it's got to come that way. Jesus may be setting, you know, giving you a reset. I say reset in the room today. Never mind the angel. Never mind the water. I'm right here. Glory to God. Now, God bless everyone that's in the room. Right now, I'm going to change this order of this fellowship or service right now. And I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Now, one time Elijah said, well, if I be a man of God, well, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Well, I'm going to pray a similar prayer today, but I'm not consuming anybody and their 50, but we are consuming all the things that have plagued you and all the things that have said, aha, aha, against you. We're going to consume them this morning. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is our consuming fire. Now, if that's you here this morning and you need a special miracle. Now, it could be something else. It may not be sickness. It may not even be family. It may just be you're struggling with something. You know, maybe the Lord gave you a word, you know, that you will emerge or that you will be elevated or, you know, business or, you know, whatever. But it's like a struggle. And it seems like it's going nowhere, you know. But the Lord said this thing. Now remember, you are not all alone. Everything that the Lord said is already finished. People are still suffering from it. Jesus said it is finished on the cross. And people are still sick. People still die. So you're not all alone. You know, but, you know, we've got to contend for these things. You know, just because the Lord said something doesn't mean we're just going to fold our arms, sit down, and then get it. That's not how it works. You know, more so, you've got to contend. When the Lord told Elijah, the rain is coming, go and tell Ahab. Elijah did say the rain is coming, and he told Ahab to go and eat and drink, but he himself did not go and eat and drink. He himself actually went to go and pray. Why would you pray when the Lord already said, you know, the rain is coming? Well, that's how it works. You're going to have to contend for that promise. And Elijah prayed, prayed. I don't know how long each time he sent his servant. It was like 7 times. We don't know how many minutes he prayed between each of those times. Could have been 10, 20, 30 minutes. He kept praying. And the man went, he said, go check it out. And the man said, I see nothing. And he prayed some more. He put his head down between his knees, agonized in prayer. And James chapter 5 tells us he prayed earnestly. And he began to pray fervently and earnestly for the promise that he was already giving. God already said the rain is coming. What do you got to pray for? Well, that's how it works. The Lord, you know, everything that the Lord already done, remember, he has already finished it even before he started it. We must contend for it in order for us to obtain it. That's how it works. So today, we're going to contend for all the things that Jesus did for us, both in his death and more so in his resurrection. And we're going to contend that the power of that resurrection will break chains on here this morning. That power will cut us under the bars of iron and break in pieces the gates of brass. We're going to contend that morning, right here this morning, that power of resurrection will bring healing, will bring deliverance, will bring, you know, advancement. That's right. Advancement. Wherein the devil has kept you backward, you'll be elevated. Hallelujah. Because that's what resurrection is. The power of elevation. Glory to God. God will elevate you. And things that are dead, hallelujah, God will bring them to life. Even on here today, in the name of Jesus. Now today, I'm going to take advantage of it because the Lord said also this year, it will be the quantum leap. Well, maybe there hasn't been any quantum leap yet. But God's working on it. Well, let me take advantage of this power of resurrection that we are celebrating today to call over you the name of the Lord, the power of quantum leap and the power of his resurrection. So now I'm going to pray. Glory to God. I'm going to pray for everyone that is in this room today. Everybody that I see in the room. And even by extension, I'm praying for everybody that's listening in later on that this same power of his resurrection will touch you and will be with you and will change your story. Hallelujah. God is changing stories on here this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. On this very day, this March 31st, 2024, being this day that the whole world celebrating the resurrection of Christ, we also ourselves celebrate and acknowledge the power of his resurrection in our lives today, bringing elevation, bringing advancement, bringing a lifting up where there has been a downcasting in the name of Jesus. Let there be a lifting up in this room here this morning in Jesus' name. And let the Lord be praised. Let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. According to Psalm 67, it says, let the people praise the Lord. Let all the people praise the Lord. Let the people praise the Lord. Lord, we praise your name. We glorify you. We thank you. We honor you. We adore you. We celebrate that Jesus is no longer in the grave. Jesus is risen. And because he lives, we can live also. Hallelujah. The power of his resurrection walking now in our mortal flesh in the name of Jesus. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.